Chances are it's also the No Antifa Zone. It's the Steve Gerber Show. God bless America. It's Thursday, June the 4th, 2020. Good to have you here. And here are three big things you need to know right now. Number three, if your car is destroyed by looters, if it's burned and spray painted, is that covered by insurance? What if it's rolled over and, you know, set on fire? Are you in good hands? Number two, Defense Secretary Mark Esper says he does not support invoking the Insurrection Act. And honestly, right now, neither do I. I'm going to tell you that. We've made it through riots before. We'll be all right. And number one, the destruction from riots and violence triggered by the death of George Floyd is in the billions of dollars. The police officer who put his knee on Floyd's neck for nearly 10 minutes now been charged with second-degree murder. Three more officers being charged with being accessories. Keith Ellison, the far-left attorney general of Minnesota, doing that. Makes it a much more difficult case, according to attorneys I've been speaking with. And in fact, some are calling for it to be a first-degree murder charge because he had his knee on Floyd's neck for so long, they claim that it would have to be premeditated. Now, Floyd died of a heart attack. He's also now been confirmed as having been a COVID-19 sufferer, positive for COVID-19, the coronavirus. That'll leave some people perplexed as to how to count the death. But I want to bring you a list here of the police officers around the country that have been injured as a result of the rioting, which has been organized, as you well know, when they're finding containers full of bricks and pieces of concrete and frozen bottles of water that can be thrown and used as projectiles and weapons. This is not random. This is not accidental. This is pre-planned. And by whom? Well, we'll get to the bottom of that. Antifa comes to mind. In Albany, officers there sent to the hospital after protesters threw a brick through a window and hit him. In Atlanta, an officer underwent surgery after a protester hit him with an ATV. In Brockton, Massachusetts, a state trooper and Brockton local police suffering injuries. In Buffalo, two officers hit by a vehicle. Another one, his leg broken, pelvis shattered after he gets run over by protesters. In Champaign, Illinois, several officers suffering minor injuries after being assaulted. In Cincinnati, an officer is shot in the helmet. Lucky to be alive, I think, is a pretty fair way to say that. In Chicago, 132 officers injured in violent riots there thus far. 132 officers so far. In Denver, three city police officers sent to the hospital after a hit and run that also injured a bystander. And I go down the list. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Los Angeles, Lynchburg, Minnesota, Las Vegas. There's a police officer there on life support after being shot. In Maryland, New York City, of course, as you know, two more officers shot overnight. Another one stabbed in the neck as they're trying to protect against looters and against rioters. It continues. Oaklawn, Illinois, Oakland, California, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Richmond, Rhode Island, Sacramento, Salt Lake City. The attacks on the police officers continue, and I believe that this goes back to the Obama administration. Five police officers murdered in Dallas, Texas, during the Obama administration. Five police officers murdered in the streets during a Black Lives Matter protest. And now we're seeing this on a bigger scale. Police officers being targeted. And you wonder why nobody wants to be a police officer today. Why would you be? Now, George Floyd died at the hands of a man who certainly should never have been a police officer, a man who is now charged with murder and should be, based on everything we know thus far, based on seeing this video. And for those of you that have sent me notes that say that I shouldn't talk about the officer and I should move on, sorry, that's not going to happen. We're here to discuss the day's events. We're not here to sanitize it to make you feel better on the left or the right or anywhere in the middle. If you don't like hearing the truth, well, please, change the channel. And the truth is that officer was protected by a union that kept him on the job when he should not have been there. His acts of aggression should have disqualified him from being a police officer years earlier, and yet it didn't happen. And now we see this attitude, though, this attitude toward law enforcement. And it's been cultivated by an anti-American sentiment where the seeds are planted in our public schools. It is championed on networks like CNN and MSNBC and elsewhere that America is an unfair place and that police officers are somehow all racist, all of them. Even if you go back to the Freddie Gray case, as you remember. The officers there were also African-American. The woman in charge, a sergeant, was an African-American. Didn't matter. They're all racist. Because that's the narrative. That's the narrative they have to sell. And I wonder how this is received across America. When I go through this list of Cincinnati and Oaklawn, Illinois, and St. Louis, Missouri, where four officers were shot just this week, or Washington, D.C., or San Antonio. And people see these stories on their local news, and they see police officers under attack. And somehow, in New York and elsewhere, they say, well, it's okay for all these things to happen because the people are, they're angry, they're upset. And so, therefore, there's going to be some violence and some rioting, and we do not need to worry about social distancing because their cause matters. How is that actually received in the majority of households around this country, households that will vote on the 3rd of November? And I suggest not well. I don't believe that most people feel that it's okay to tell their kids, hey, rioting's happening, but they have a reason to riot. They have a reason to shoot at police officers. In America, we hold Officer Chauvin accountable for what he's done. That's what we must do. He must be held accountable. He must be put through the process of a murder trial, unless he pleads guilty, of course. And that's how we find justice in America. We don't find justice by destroying people's property. Or here's one for you, by stealing a $330,000 Rolls-Royce SUV. That happened in New York. Looters captured on video piling into a Rolls-Royce SUV worth $330,000 after ransacking a store in New York City and driving away with it. Their getaway car. Because a Rolls-Royce SUV won't stick out anywhere, and I'm sure there's no tracking software on it, of course. It'll be easy to track down. $332,750, the value of the vehicle. All right, I'm going to quickly go to the DTE Common Sense Hotline. We've got a little bit of time here. Sandy is checking in from Ohio. Sandy, welcome to the program. Good to have you here on the DTE Common Sense Hotline. What is on your mind?
Hi. I watched Obama on C-SPAN. He was running a few minutes late, and I had slipped. But when I flipped back, he was talking about young people and how they push for change, like environmentalism. And I thought I heard him say push for communism. But I kind of just flipped over. But he's telling them to keep rioting, to push for transformative change. You know he's not going to say stop rioting, right? They want to defund the police 100%.
Right. Defund the police. No, it's interesting, and I got to leave it right there, Sandy.
Okay.
Interesting to note that they demand more government. They want more government health care, more government control. They want the government to disperse funds. But more government means more police. The police are the government. That's how myopic some of these folks are. The police are the government, of which they apparently want more. It's a strange thing, isn't it? It's 14 after on the Steve Gruber Show. It's the no panic zone, the no riot zone as well. We'll be right back.
An important message from Jerry Norcia, president and CEO of DTE Energy.
The coronavirus pandemic is challenging all of us, but it's especially important to support our neighbors in need. While our dedicated DTE employees work tirelessly to ensure reliable energy, the DTE Foundation is working with community partners across Michigan. We're providing more than 100,000 families with critical support services, including more than 1 million meals. Together, we'll power through this.
DTE. Jerry Norcia, President and CEO of DTE Energy.
We at DTE care deeply about all the communities where we live and serve. Our top priority during this crisis is the health and safety of our employees and customers. So our crews are focusing only on work that's critical to ensure reliable energy and quick response to emergencies. If you experience challenges due to medical conditions or loss of income, contact us. We want every one of our customers to have energy to stay safe and warm.
DTE.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.